are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again with you on this Friday edition, getting ready for a Saturday night contest against the Los Angeles Rams. So we will have the keys to victory here in week 16. Also, a special guest, Akash Anavarathan. He is a contributor at Niners Nation, and he was kind enough to break down all of the scenarios, everything that could possibly happen as far as tiebreakers and seeding goes in the NFC for the 49ers. So we will get into that and look ahead at the next two games for the Niners as they try to win out and just control their own destiny, getting that one seed in the NFC. And we will hear a couple of sound clips I have here from head coach Kyle Shanahan about Kwon Alexander, his potential return, about the lack of production from wide receivers last week, and defensive coordinator Robert Saleh speaking on the attrition that the 49ers defense has experienced in the later part of the year and how that affects the production and the numbers the 49ers defense has been putting up. A lot to get to, so let's bring on today's guest, Akash Anavarathan. What he did for us is break everything down for seeding and different scenarios for the 49ers in the NFC playoff scenario, which I'm very thankful for. So we don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. You guys don't have to do it. Akash is here to break it all down for us. He is a contributor at Niners Nation. You can find him on Twitter at Akash Anav. Akash, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's get into this thing. The 49ers can finish 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, 5 seed, or 6 seed. So not the 4, right? Because of how terrible both the Eagles and the Cowboys are if they are to win the NFC East.
Right. That's the one spot that they couldn't finish in, is that number 4 spot. But they could finish in just about anywhere else, depending on the results of these last 2 weeks. It's pretty wild, actually.
Is there one thing that is the most important for the 49ers seeding-wise, aside from just winning out? Because obviously we know if the 49ers win out, they've got control of this thing. If they win the next two games at home against the Rams, on the road against the Seahawks, they will be the one seed in the NFC, correct?
Right. And so that was the biggest takeaway when I put all this stuff together. It was that they're still in control of their own destiny. If they were to win out here, beat the Rams at home on Saturday night, then go on the road to Seattle and beat the Seahawks, they're the one seed. Thanks to some tiebreakers when they beat the Green Bay Packers and the New Orleans Saints earlier in the year. The biggest things for 49ers fans to watch will be the Week 16 Green Bay and Minnesota Vikings game. So the reason this comes into play is for one of the lower tiebreakers is strength of victory. So this looks at your wins and how many wins your opponent has. And so obviously the 49ers beat the Packers earlier in the year, and the Seahawks beat the Vikings earlier in the year. Right now, the Packers have 11 wins, and the Vikings have 10 wins. So if you're a 49ers fan and you're worried about tiebreakers, root for the Packers this weekend to win. So that would be one thing to watch.
So the Niners want the Packers to win. They want the Saints to win because those are the teams that they beat, and they have the strength of victory on them. They want other teams to lose to those teams that they beat.
Right, and I mentioned this to somebody else, too. It's kind of a catch-22, right? So right now, the 49ers, the Packers, and the Saints are all 11-3. Obviously, if the Niners win out, they're 13-3, they'll be the one seed. But say they lose this weekend against the Rams, but they beat Seattle, and obviously, it'll come down, it'll work its way itself through the tiebreakers, and say New Orleans and Green Bay finishes 13-3, the 49ers would have won the NFC West thanks to the fifth or the sixth tiebreaker, the strength of victory tiebreaker, but they won't have a bye. They'll probably be the number 3 seed and they'll play on wild card weekend. So it's kind of a catch 22 where you want New Orleans and Green Bay to win to help your strength of victory, but you'd want them to not finish 13-3 so that you still have a chance for a bye if you finish 12-4. It's kind of an odd situation to be in.
Yeah. Okay. So you want Green Bay to beat Minnesota, but you don't want to be tied with, or you don't want them to win so many games where you're not tied anymore, so you don't get that tiebreaker with Green Bay and New Orleans. That is a catch, which that means then that the second seed is probably the hardest seed for the 49ers to get, right?
That's right. Yeah, and if you look at the Saints' schedule, they've got Tennessee and Carolina, and Green Bay has Minnesota and Detroit. And as you know, Carolina sort of punted on the season. They've let their coach go. Detroit just put Matt Stafford on IR, and so likely the Saints and the Packers will win their Week 17 game. It's going to come down to this week. If Green Bay can beat Minnesota and New Orleans can beat the Titans, I think they'll both finish 13-3. So Niners, it's a simple formula. If they win out, they don't have to worry about anything else. If they lose this weekend and they beat Seattle, it gets a little bit more dicey. If they lose both of these games, or if they lose at Seattle, then they'll be a wild card team playing on the road wild card weekend.
So that's how they get to the 5 seed, just by not winning the West. And so what's the scenario then for getting to the 6th seed? Because if you're rooting for Green Bay to beat Minnesota, that means that not only do you have the strength of victory with Green Bay, but also Minnesota's one game worse, so that way the 49ers can't finish below Minnesota and get the 6th seed instead of the 5, right?
Right. The only way the 49ers drop all the way to the 6th seed is if they lose both this weekend against the Rams and next weekend against the Seahawks, and Minnesota goes ahead and wins out. Because there's a chance that Minnesota could win out, be 12-4, and Green Bay could be 12-4. But Green Bay would still win the division. Green Bay right now hasn't lost a division game, where the Vikings have already lost 2. So because of that tiebreaker, Green Bay could lose this weekend against the Vikings, beat Detroit, still take the NFC North, and Minnesota could be 12-4 in the 5 seed. And the Niners say if they finish 11-5, they could drop down to the 6 seed. So that's probably the lowest chance, but there still is, you know, a possibility that they would then end up having to play the number 3 seed on opening weekend, whereas most Niner fans right now just assume that they're going to play the NFC East winner.
Is there a scenario where it gets deeper than the 5th? The number 5 tiebreaker is strength of victory that we've talked a lot about here. And right. So it goes head-to-head, best one loss against the division, best one loss in common games. This is for division tiebreakers. A best one loss in games within the conference, then it gets to strength of victory. That's for division. For conference, I believe it's a little bit different, but it's still 5th is the strength of victory. I guess within the division doesn't matter for conference tiebreakers, obviously. But what's the furthest down the list? Number 11 is the last one I've seen listed, which is best net touchdowns in all games. I don't think it's going to come to that. Can it get further than strength of victory at 5?
I think there's a chance it can get down there. Obviously, after strength of victory, strength of schedule. The 49ers, as you know, they've just played this gauntlet, right? They've played 3 teams that have had a winning record of at least 800. So that's been really positive for their strength of schedule. So I don't say it does get past strength of victory. I don't think it'll get past strength of schedule, because the Niners have had a tough stretch here that's actually benefiting them there. And right now, at least with the Vikings, they have a better strength of victory and better strength of schedule. So that's working in their favor.
So knowing all of these scenarios and you've seen the 49ers, obviously, many times. You've seen the Packers. You've seen New Orleans. You've seen the Seahawks.
Right.
The one team the 49ers haven't seen here is Minnesota. Haven't really seen anything from the NFC East. What is your feeling right now? How do you feel about the 49ers' chances? If you had to put money on one spot that the 49ers finish as far as NFC seeding goes, where would you put them?
Yeah. So if I had to put my money, I would go ahead and say that they end up as a number 5 seed. I think as a result of the loss last week to the Falcons, they come out this week with a vengeance. They're getting Richard Sherman and K'Wan Williams back. They both practiced in full today. I don't think they'll get safety Jaquaski Tartt back or D Ford, probably through the regular season, I think. So I think they beat the Rams, but it's a tall order to go into Seattle, who's banged up. They're missing Quandre Diggs. They're missing Bobby Wagner. Josh Gordon out for the season with a suspension, but I think it's a tall order to go into Seattle week 17, and defeat an MVP candidate, Russell Wilson, who's playing, lights out right now. So I think they've finished the season 12-4, which is, more than what most fans expected at the start of the season. But as a result of, a couple losses against Seattle, they probably dropped down to the number 5 seed. And I think New Orleans is probably going to be your, 1 seed. And Seattle, your number 2 seed, Green Bay, your number 3 seed, the NFC East winner, depending on what happens this week, will be in the 4th spot, and Minnesota there at number 6. It would be my prediction.
More with Akash coming up, taking a look at the Rams and the Seahawks in the next 2 weeks, and of course, the keys to victory for Week 16. If you guys are looking for a last-minute fun sports gift for the holidays, go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. Breaking Tee makes sports t-shirts around teams' passion moments. For example, you will find a bunch of new George Kittle designs there, which are fantastic. There's a Lucha Libre George Kittle. There is the People's Tight End version of the George Kittle t-shirt. There is the National Tight End Day t-shirt, officially licensed by George Kittle himself, by the way. Designs for other teams as well. For example, if you know somebody who roots for that football team in Washington, there's a shirt that says, "Sell the Team," in burgundy and gold. Gardner Minshew designs, headbands, and other things when it comes to Gardner Minshew. BreakingTee.com/LockedOn, then search for all the great gifts and shirt designs on that site. Hoodies, tanks, fun sports gifts. Go to BreakingTee.com/LockedOn. The Seahawks game is interesting because if things stay as they are right now, Diggs, Bobby Wagner, Jadeveon Clowney, all not practicing for the Seahawks.
Right.
I have a feeling it's an ankle for both Wagner and Quandre Diggs. The Wagner injury looked like it could have been a bad one on the field, right. But then, you know, he said after the game it wasn't a big deal. I'd be surprised if those guys play this week against the 49ers. I'd be willing to bet they make it back. I don't know the exact prognosis on those injuries. I don't know if you've seen anything more definitive than them just not practicing so far this week. No. But, man, George Kittle obviously didn't play against the Seahawks last time.
Right.
Getting George Kittle back and then the Seahawks not having Wagner, Jadeveon Clowney, and Quandre Diggs would be pretty massive, I think, for the 49ers and really skew that thing, I think, in the Niners' favor.
Right, and there's a stat, right? Russell Wilson, I think, is 13-3 against the 49ers, and obviously, you know, the last couple years hasn't necessarily been a fair fight, but I think Russell Wilson has a 49ers number. I don't think the 49ers have been successful at CenturyLink with that crowd noise, and it's a late December game in Seattle, so you figure it's going to be cold, potentially rainy, so it could be a similar situation to what it was like in Baltimore. Where the 49ers sort of offensive advantage may be taken away by the weather. So you take all those factors into account. I think sort of for Seattle, it just seems to be working out this season. You know, their point differential is a lot lower than the 49ers, but they find a way to win these close games consistently. And I think they're going to find a way to pull off another close one. It just seems to be that way, especially with the injuries on the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers.
It's amazing the way that the Seahawks are able to win those close games, and they're so frustrating Absolutely. To play against. And I don't know, tell me what you think, because I had a question on the Tuesday mailbag episode about if it was just straight up that the Seahawks had the 49ers number in Seattle and if it was something mentally that was hanging over the organization. Right. And I was thinking, man, you know, all those years, it's a completely different roster. Like Joe Staley's been around for a while, so it might creep into his brain. Maybe even Jed York, it's in his mind, right? But I would think it's a lot more something that the fans might feel is a monkey on their back more than the players, because these are young guys. They didn't really go through all of those years of losing in Seattle. Some of them have lost a couple of times now. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't lost in Seattle. I don't think it's hanging over the head of guys like, obviously, Richard Sherman, one with the Seahawks. He doesn't have any problem playing in Seattle. Right. And the coaching staff is all pretty new to San Francisco, John Lynch. So I feel like it's more mentally like something that a hurdle that the fans need to get over more than the actual organization. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And fans, you know, they remember the 2013 NFC Championship game. And they remember like the Sunday night game in 2012 when I think they lost like 29-3. They remember those moments where, you know, Seattle came out and absolutely destroyed the 49ers at CenturyLink Field. Whereas you're absolutely right. Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't even played, right? Last year it was Nick Mullins who took the start at CenturyLink Field. So I don't think some of the younger guys on the team necessarily deal with that. But I think, you know, from a head coach and quarterback standpoint, I think Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson have just been there and done it more times than Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo. And the three games that they've lost this year have all come down sort of final possession, last 10-second losses. And, you know, those are the type of games that Seattle more often than not ends up winning. And so far, the 49ers, they've won one out of four of those games this year, right? So they were in that sort of a situation again, you know, I have more confidence that the Seahawks will come through over the 49ers. That it's just sort of what we've been accustomed
yeah.
to, right?
Yeah, I've been trained to just believe that. It's like, oh, going to go to Seattle, that's going to be a loss because you can't win right. there. It's crazy.
That's right.
It's also crazy to think that the Cincinnati Bengals in week one, who we know now is the worst team in the NFL, almost went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks in week one. I mean, how different would things look if the Bengals went and won in Seattle in week one against the Seahawks? That's crazy to think about. There was a missed kick, I think, for the Rams. Greg right. Zuerlein missed a kick, and they could have beaten them in Seattle. So they're definitely right. not as much of a powerhouse team as they have been in the past, and I don't think they're as right. they're just not as difficult to play in Seattle as they were a few years ago. But man, you've got that coach quarterback combination of Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. They just find ways right. to win games and find ways to win those close games. It's pretty amazing. One more quick question for you here,
sure.
as it pertains to playing both the Rams and the Seahawks. And we talked about some players that might be missing on Seattle's defense. What about the 49ers defense and the pass rush and the lack of interceptions in the last stretch of games? I believe the last pick yep. the 49ers had was Russell Wilson in overtime. The Dre Greenlaw, I believe, is the yep. guy that pulled down the interception. And they haven't had any since then. The pass rush has sort of slowed down quite a bit. I think some of that is because of how they've had to play some opponents. But do you think mm-hmm. that's something that is going to hurt the 49ers down the stretch here?
No, so I saw the stat there, right? I think Eric Branch covers 49ers. He tweeted it out. He said through the first 8 weeks of the season, the 49ers had 10 interceptions. They were tied for second in the NFL. Then from weeks 9 to 15, they've only had one pick, the Dre Greenlaw interception in overtime, like you mentioned, which is 32nd in the NFL, right? And so I went and I was like, I wonder if this is just as a result of the quarterbacks they played. So if you look at the first half of the season, they played Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield, Andy Dalton, Mason Rudolph, Jared Goff, Case Keenum, and Kyle Allen, who have a combined 97 interceptions on the season.
when you said Jameis Winston, I was like, well, Jameis Winston probably has more picks than the rest of the 49ers schedule combined.
It was close. It's awfully close. And then from then on, they've played Kyler Murray twice, who has 10 picks. And then they've played Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, who are known for not throwing interceptions at all, and then Lamar Jackson and Matt Ryan. And between those guys, they have a combined 49 picks. So as much as you want to say, oh man, has the 49ers defense regressed? Has their pass rush and secondary regressed? You think, you know, these quarterbacks just aren't throwing interceptions to any of the other teams either. So I think it's more of a result of the schedule and how that worked itself out, not necessarily, you know, a knock against the 49ers defense.
It's interesting when it comes to opposing quarterbacks. Before the season started, we had Mike Sando on the Locked On NFL show with me and Matt Williamson. And Mike mm-hmm. Sando polls executives every year, and he does this thing that is a list. It's like a tiered quarterback ranking, and it's not scientific and it's not about stats. It's just polling executives right. around the league. And when he looked at those tiered quarterbacks, and by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe, was in tier 3, and he was voted at tier 2 going into last year. So he dropped a tier with that ACL injury, and uh-huh. he'll probably jump back up into tier 2 when he does this again before the 2020 season. But right. when you took those quarterbacks and then the rankings of those quarterbacks for opposing teams, the 49ers had the third most difficult schedule in the league as far as opposing quarterbacks and where those opposing quarterbacks ranked. And most of those right. were stacked sort of at the end of the schedule. Right. They didn't have to face Ben Roethlisberger or right. Cam Newton, though, which made that a little bit easier, especially in the first half of the stretch. But it is saying something, the stretch of quarterbacks that the 49ers have faced. And they've done well against some of them. And they've done not as well against, I mean, Drew Brees. They still pulled out the W, but mm-hmm. Brees had a hell of a day. And, man, that guy's playing at a super high level right now. That's New Orleans is a place definitely don't want to have to go back to, I think, if you're the 49ers, and that's one of the big things I think about this stretch of two games. If they can win these two games, that means they don't have to in the playoffs go to Seattle or go to Green Bay or go to New Orleans, because even if they get away with a win against Seattle in Seattle and they got away with a win at New Orleans in the regular season, doing mm-hmm. that a second time is just, it's so difficult. And when you're playing great quarterbacks in their house, it's a tough task to ask, I think, for any team to go on the road and win at all those places. The 49ers would have to in the NFC to get to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And I think the 49ers defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, met with the media today. And I think one of the points he made was that, you know, we were playing at such a historic level during the first half of the season. It was just hard for us to keep up, you know, in the second half of the season. So naturally, when the 49ers played that well through the first part of that schedule, the expectation is that they'd keep it up, but they just started to play better offenses and, you know, hit a regression. But one of my personal favorite stats is Football Outsiders DVOA. And so it takes into account things like schedule and situation and opponent and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just a little deeper than just raw defensive numbers. And actually, against the Seahawks, Ravens, and Packers, the 49ers defense actually held their own. Against the Saints and Falcons, they regressed a little bit. I'd put that on, you know, Drew Brees had a hell of a performance 2 weeks ago. The 49ers didn't have four starting defenders last week against the Falcons. So you hit a little bit of a regression there. But against those other three guys, they held up their end of the deal. So we're going to have to see as they get healthy here in the last couple of weeks how that's going to be. But it'll be something to watch.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun one down the stretch. The Niners are in the playoffs, though, which is the good news. No matter what, they will be playing one extra game this season. Akash, thank you so much for joining the show. Can you remind my listeners where they can find you and your work?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Big fan of the podcast, and I was glad to be able to come on and talk about playoff scenarios for the 49ers. You can find me, I write for Niners Nation, ninersnation.com. You can find me on Twitter, Akash Anav, that's AKASHANAV, and feel free to hit me up there. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, great stuff. Akash, have to have you on again and spread some more of that fantastic information. But now it's time to shift to those Los Angeles Rams and the keys to victory in Week 16. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedNFL. Again, that's using /lockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Akash mentioned the Robert Saleh quote about the defense and the expected regression statistically of what the 49ers were doing there and the attrition that the 49ers defense has gone through with all the injuries on that side of the ball on top of the teams that they had to play against and the quarterbacks and the better talent packed into the end of the season.
From a statistical standpoint, it was almost historic over those first eight games. I almost feel like we kind of spoiled people. But you know, we've still been playing good defense and doing all those things. It's something that we got to just continue to keep grinding, getting better with the different guys that are coming in and out of the lineup.
I don't think it can be overstated how hard it is and how great the 49ers have been this season in replacing starting level talent with guys who played at maybe not as high of a level, but a pretty darn high level in a starter level from a lot of their backups. And the depth has been phenomenal, and the coaching job in that aspect, I think, has been phenomenal by all the 49ers coaching staff down to the position coaches this season. Even the New England Patriots had a similar thing going on this year. And if you play fantasy football, you know that the New England Patriots defense was even outscoring some of the best offensive players in the NFL with statistically what they were doing on that side of the ball, and that has corrected itself a little bit, even though the numbers still look good for that Patriots defense. And so it just happens. That's the way things go sometimes. We've seen it with the two best defenses in the NFL. They're both, I believe, the two best defenses in the NFL, but statistically they're even at another level that was really hard to keep up, and there was going to be some natural regression no matter what in the second half of the season for both the Patriots and the 49ers. One more solid clip here, and it's been a big topic of conversation this week. I had a mailbag question about it, wondering why, hey, everybody in the world knew the ball was going to Julio Jones there, so why weren't you jumping that slant route? And Robert Saleh knew it was coming too.
On the final play, you know, we have, I won't go into the full schematic of it all, but he was, we're playing a bracket on Julio, and there was just a miscommunication on how we were going to play it, and it didn't come out the way we wanted. So
it's unbelievable, the details and the small things that go into a game, and you go through weeks and years of practice, and you come to a moment, you know what you want to do, and communicating that and getting it into all 11 guys and getting everybody on the same page in such a short amount of time, in a few seconds that it takes to call a play and get it relayed to everybody out on the field and executing that play. People are tired physically, mentally. When you have a great player and you don't get it right, that's what happens. And sometimes it's the small things. It's the small things of George Kittle dropping the ball for no reason when he's about to mow people over and go get a first down. It's crazy what can happen in the NFL. And sometimes the just some very minor things can have a really big impact. And it was a matter of inches with Julio Jones getting the ball over and breaking the plane and ultimately winning that game for the Falcons against the 49ers. Not much time left. Let's quickly go to Kyle Shanahan. There was a lot of talk this week about Kwon Alexander and if he could return. Shanahan didn't want to close the door, but it doesn't look good. And it would be foolish to bring him back when he's, you know, 2 months, 3 months into a 6 month recovery.
It would be awesome if he could, but I mean, it's a really big injury and that would be down the road. So there would be an outside chance at it, but we haven't ruled it out. Kwon, I mean, he's same as Sherman. Kwon thought he could have came back the next week. You know, they're made of the right stuff. And when you think that way, even though it's your mind, sometimes your body will follow. And so we won't rule it out, but it's a long shot and it's not anytime soon.
And finally, another big topic of conversation this week was what was going on with the wide receivers. Jimmy Garoppolo not throwing the ball outside. It was all Kittle all day long. And Kyle Shanahan this week told us why.
Yeah, it was more, I mean, some of the coverages they were playing. I mean, we wanted to go to George. We liked the matchups. They did a number of man coverage, and we didn't feel like they were taking away George that much. When they do, you get to number two and stuff. I thought they did a real good job progressing. So a lot of our concepts kind of turned into they did a good job rushing, which makes it tough to progress to number two and number three, which makes it a one-man show a lot. But it was more everybody. I mean, George got most of the play calls and stuff. The other guys did too, but they had some bad luck on it. And when things were good, you know, we had a couple drops. When it wasn't that, you know, it might have been a protection issue. But usually it's not like that. We don't always want it to be like that. But we also don't mind if we get the win done. And we thought we had a chance to, but that wasn't why we lost.
And it might not get a lot easier for 49ers wide receivers going up against one of the league's best cornerbacks in Jalen Ramsey in Week 16 against the Rams. Let's get to our keys to victory. Key to victory number 5, make Todd Gurley into Plod Gurley. Yes, thank you very much. I worked very hard at that pun. 3.9 yards per carry on the season for Todd Gurley. Sure, establish the run, Rams, if that's what you want to do. At 3.9 a clip, don't have a problem with that. If Todd Gurley is running the ball and they are methodically, slowly moving down the field occasionally on the 49ers defense, that is fine. A big task for Solomon Thomas and Sheldon Day inside to hold up in place of DJ Jones. They did a pretty good job last week, but I have a really good feeling that Sean McVay is going to try to do that. He's going to try to make short down and distance, easy throws for Jared Goff, who's got a bad thumb already, and he's going to try to go at the middle of the 49ers defense. So the defensive line, the rookie linebackers outside, Fred Warner, got to come up big and force them into long distance situations so that pass rush can get home and cause problems for Jared Goff. Key to victory number 4, whoever Jalen Ramsey isn't covering needs to get open and make some plays. Last week, awful, awful production from the 49ers wide receivers. They're going to play some man defense. You got to get open. I got to believe Ramsey will travel with Emmanuel Sanders quite a bit. That means Debo has to come up big, and we might see a steady dose of George Kittle again, which isn't the worst game plan because he's the 49ers' best player. Key to victory number 3. On that same token, Kyle Shanahan needs to go back to his deep bag of tricks. Too vanilla last week. I want to see a non-quarterback throw the ball, or Richie James in the backfield, or misdirection. Create some confusion for the Rams' defense. Don't let them just line up and play against you and gain confidence. I felt like the Falcons really just gained confidence last week and didn't have their backs against the wall very often at all. Key to victory number 2, block Aaron Donald. And I know that sounds very easy, and it is not. And the 49ers are going to have to probably double up on him, if not triple up on him, as we heard during the crossover podcast, as has been the case a lot this season against teams playing against the Rams. It's a tough ask for Ben Garland to jump in there and face two Pro Bowl defensive tackles in Grady Jarrett and Aaron Donald in back-to-back games. So help out Ben Garland and maybe run outside a lot and try to avoid Donald as much as possible. And key to victory number one for the 49ers to beat the Rams in Week 16, make Jared Goff's life miserable. He's already dealing with an injured hand. Make him feel it. Make him feel that pass rush. Hit that hand. They did it once already this season, and the trend for Goff is to play even worse on the road. They sacked him four times. He generated only 78 passing yards. You don't even have to hold Goff to a ridiculous 78 yards. Just force him into mistakes. If the 49ers defense intercepts their first pass in, 5 weeks, that will go a long way to a W in Week 16. Affect Jared Goff. Pass rush. I want to see that pass rush jump back. That's going to be a huge key to this game, I think, for the 49ers. Those are your keys to victory. Thank you again to Akash for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back Monday, breaking it all down, rapid react style, right here, Locked On 49ers.